Standing with us, getting ready to give God praise this morning. Amen. Lord, we just give you praise for this morning, God. We give you glory. We thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence and lift up your holy name. If you agree with me this morning, you better shout hallelujah and amen. Hey. And I searched the world, and they couldn't feel me. Man's empty praise treasures the faith, but never enough. You came along, then you put me back together. Now every desire is now satisfied.
Turn praise into garden. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can
turn grain.
You turn grains into garden
and bones into an army.
You turn bones into army.
You make it waves through the sea.
You turn seas into highways. You're the
Natalie, I need you to press that button and make it output, please. Hallelujah. Technology, oh, you gotta love it. All right. Hallelujah, we are in business. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Woo! Amen.
beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Come on, sing along. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater.
Above every name, the name at which every knee shall bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That's why we pray in the name of Jesus. because everything's contained in there, every victory we could ever hope for or need. Amen. Welcome to church this morning. Welcome to those watching online. We're going to pray right now in the name of Jesus, because no matter what your circumstance, He can give you victory in every area. Amen. Anybody ever seen any victories in their life? You know, just singing these songs brings back this. We could have a testimony night, and we could just have one testimony after another, because God is constantly working in our lives. But today, for those who are watching, we just want to release the power of God in the name of Jesus. You know, in the book of Acts, it says that Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, and there was a man who was lame from his mother's womb. He was at the temple gate, and he looked at them looking, hoping for silver and gold. And they said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible says that his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he was healed right there. So right now, I just release, in the name of Jesus, I just release the healing power of God to flow into ankle bones and knees and hips and hearts and whatever the need is right now, just wherever you are at home, just say, "Father, I receive that in the name of Jesus." We just release the healing power of God to flow into those people's bodies and homes and lives, Father. Thank you for the power in the name of Jesus. And family, we're going to sing one more worship song. Wasn't that just beautiful? You know, when you sing of the beautiful name of Jesus, when you sing about what God has done for us, it just ignites faith in our heart, but it brings the anointing of God right into the building. So we're going to worship one more song. And as we do, our prayer team are going to come to the front. If you need prayer, come forward. We'll pray with you. We'll agree with you. We'll see miracles take place together. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we lift you up in this place and we glorify you. There's an answer, question mark.
There we go.
There's a name. There's a name flowing through these veins. There's a voice that echoes through the pain. There's an ember ready for the flame. There's a name.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing this song.
We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand in awe of the one who breaks the chains.
There we go.
Love. Love has a name, Jesus. Love has a name. Love has a name, Jesus. There's a joy that triumphs over fear. There's a laughter. Wipes away all tears. There's a presence that changes atmospheres. There's a name. We will fix our eyes on the one who overcame. We will stand.
Ourselves right into the presence of God. Amen. Welcome to Ascend Church. So good to see you. Turn and greet someone. You may be seated. Welcome to those that are watching from around the world online today. We're so glad you've joined us. To our Send Church members, we miss you. We hope we see you again soon. And welcome to everyone in the building. I love our church community. You know, my daughter Nadine went to go see the body exhibit at the museum. Has anyone ever seen that? It's actual live. I mean, it's not live, but it's actual bodies. But there was a sign up, and I thought it was really interesting. It said about socializing. It said that maintaining good relationships and socializing actually prevents mental illness. And it actually helps you to remember more and to think more clearly. So I thought, isn't that amazing that just social interaction can work on, even on a mental level, but you know, it's so much more than that even in church, because we're a community of believers. And so it's deeper than just the mental or the emotional, although I love that part of church. So for those of you who are not back in church yet, we do understand, but we do look forward to it, because there's something you get from a in-house gathering that's different to when you just watch online. Amen. I just want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time today. If you are, we love having visitors in our church, don't we? And if you're here for the first time, would you just wave your hand that we could welcome you? Anyone here for the first time? God bless you. Come on. Come on. Let's make it sound like we really care. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. We would have handed you a guest card, and we ask you just fill it out for us. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. Gives the pastor opportunity to call you, find out how you enjoyed the service. And I'm looking forward to church this morning. How about you? Praise God. I want to remind you about the different platforms. You know, we've had at times, and the way things are going, you never know, with Facebook Live is one of them, YouTube, AscendChurch.us, Ascend Church Jupiter, and then there's various ways you can watch. That's on our app. That's very stable to be able to watch it on the app. If you haven't got it, just look at the little barcode on the seat in front of you and scan it, and it'll take you right into our app. Also, our website, which is ascendchurch.us. So if one of the others doesn't work, there's always an alternative, right? And we just thank you for those that are watching. Go ahead and share it. Sometimes people will watch something online quicker than they'll come into a church building, because they first want to see what you're all about, right? And see if they could feel comfortable. So thank you for sharing. Comment where you're watching from. We appreciate it that you can go ahead and give online. That's really simple to do. There's a link right there. So thank you for doing that. We have a song item, which is going to be beautiful. Thank you, Leslie.
Everybody stand, please. It's a very important song. Sing it out loud. I need the music up, turned up a little louder, please. Can we start it again, please? Sorry about that. We're going to sing God Bless America. And so just sing it out as much as you can.
Land that I love, stand.
God bless us. God bless our nation. Amen.
It always helps to put the power on. It always helps. Well, listen, let's come on, lift up a prayer for America. Lord, we pray for America. We pray that you would guide and bless and protect this nation. We look to you, Lord. We look to you and we declare, Jesus, that you are Lord over America. We pray, Lord, that you would move across this land from the east to the west, from the north to the south. We pray for a great awakening and revival to spread across this nation. We pray, Lord, that your glory would fall upon this nation. We call out upon you in the name of Jesus. Lord, as we gather today, we're so thankful that we can gather together as your family, that we can gather together in your house, that we can come and meet with you. We can come and enter your presence. We can come and hear from you, Lord, receive direction and wisdom and guidance. And Father, today we give you all praise for everything that will be said and for everything that will be done, Lord, in the name of Jesus. If you agree, shout out amen, somebody. Welcome someone. Tell, I'm glad to see you. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're watching today, wherever you may be watching from. Praise the Lord. We welcome all those who are watching and joining us online from all over the world today. We're so glad that you joined us. I want to encourage you, if you're watching this on Facebook, go ahead and share this live stream on your feed, and let's just reach as many people as we can. What do you say? Are you ready for God's word today? Say, I'm ready to receive God's word. Are you warm? Are you warm? Because it was a little cold today. We woke up, it was 43 degrees this morning. And then when I was driving to church, it was 63, and I put my sweater on, and now I'm here, now I'm warm. It's still like 70 degrees in here, but are you doing okay? All right, praise the Lord. I'm ready for God's word today. Hi, I'm Steve Barry. I am the pastor of Ascend Church here in Jupiter. I want to invite you, if you live anywhere near Jupiter, we'd love to have you come visit our church. I'd love to meet you. I promise you that we have the most welcoming, friendly people that make you feel so at home, and your kids will have a great time at our Ascend Kids Church. So we really hope we'll see you soon, don't we, everybody? Now, today, I want to speak about what moves God. What causes God to move in your life? Because let me tell you, God is not moved by our need. God is moved by our faith. The Bible says in James 1 verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to everyone generously and without rebuke or blame, and it will be given to him. But, everybody say but. But let he must ask in faith. You must ask in faith, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like a billowing surge of the sea that is blown and tossed about by the wind. For such a person ought not to think or expect that he will receive anything at all from the Lord. Now, James talking about wisdom, but he goes on and says, we cannot expect to receive anything at all from the Lord unless it's by faith. You see, everything God does in your life, God is moved by faith. Faith is what moves God. Amen. Without it, you can't receive anything from him. So many times when people came to Jesus, when you read in the scriptures, they came to Jesus for help, he would tell them, according to your faith, let it be done unto you. He would tell them, your faith healed you. In Mark chapter 5, there was a woman who'd suffered with a continual bleeding disorder for 12 years. And the Bible says she'd been to many doctors. They couldn't help her. But then when she heard about Jesus' healing power, she said, if I can just touch his clothes, I know that I will be healed. And she pushed through the crowd around Jesus. And the moment she touched Jesus, the hem of his garment The power of God flowed out of him, and she was healed. And Jesus felt that healing power go out of him. And he turned around, he said, "Who touched me?" And the Bible says that the woman came and told him what had happened. In Mark 5, verse 34, Jesus said to her, "Daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you." You see, it was her faith that caused God's healing power to flow in her body. It was her faith. There were a lot of people around Jesus touching him. Nothing happened, but she touched him with faith. In Matthew chapter 9, two blind men came to Jesus. They wanted healing. They wanted to be able to see. And Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I can make you see?" They said, "Yes, Lord, we do." Jesus said to them in Matthew 9, verse 29, he touched their eyes. He said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And the Bible says that they were healed. The New Living Translation says, "Because of your faith, it will happen." Say, "Because of my faith, it'll happen." In Mark chapter 10, there was a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, and he heard Jesus was passing by. And he shouted out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me and heal me." And the crowd around him started yelling at him, telling him, "Be quiet." But he kept on shouting even louder. And finally, Jesus heard him, and Jesus stopped. And he called. He told them, bring that man to me. And he asked the man, what did he want? And the man told Jesus, "I want to receive my sight." And Jesus said to him in Mark 10, verse 52, "Go, for your faith has healed you." And instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Jesus said, "Your faith healed you." They all moved God with their faith. But notice that their faith had actions. You see, faith requires actions of faith. So I want to share with you some actions of faith that will cause God to move in your life. In James 2, verse 17, it says, "Faith, if it does not have actions of obedience to back it up, by itself, it's destitute of power. It's inoperative. It's dead." Your faith doesn't work if you don't have actions backing up your faith. Hello? James 2:20 says, "Faith without actions is useless." Amen? All the people that I mentioned to you who receive miracles from God, they all put action to their faith. What are some faith actions that move God to work in our life? Well, number one, praise and worship moves God to work in your life. Praise and worship gets God's attention. You see, worship and praise is demonstrating faith, especially when you worship God before you see the victory, especially when you worship God when you're still in the valley. Let me tell you, worship moves God to act for you. In Psalm 55, verse 17, the scripture says, "Every waking hour I will worship only him, and he will hear and respond to my cry." Say, when I worship God, God moves in my life. In Matthew chapter 15, there was a Canaanite woman who came to Jesus asking him to help her daughter who was possessed by a demon, and this demon was tormenting her. Do you think people today still get possessed by demons and tormented by demons? Think demons all went away somewhere? No, people very often people's problems are caused by demonic forces, and that's what was this situation. And so she came to Jesus, but Jesus didn't reply to her. His disciples urged Jesus to send her away. They said in Matthew 15:23, "Tell her to go away. She's bothering us with all of her begging." Jesus told the woman that he was only sent to help the Jews, the lost sheep of Israel, and not to the Gentiles. And the woman, in Matthew 15, I want you to see what this woman did. It says, "Then she came and worshiped him." She went from begging to worship. She came and worshiped him. "Lord, help me." What happened? The Bible says in verse 28, Jesus answered, he said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Can you see how God moves when you worship? See, God doesn't respond to begging. God responds to faith. And worship and praise is faith. Worship moves God to act for you. You've heard me tell the story so many times in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when King Jehoshaphat the people of Judah. They were attacked by these three armies. And in the natural, it really looked hopeless for them. But Jehoshaphat, he put singers out in front of the army. And they went into battle singing, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22, that the very moment that they began to sing and to give praise, the very moment they began to give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. And the armies of Ammon and Moab turned against their allies from Mount Seir, and they killed every one of them. And after they destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. It says, so when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground. As far as you could see, not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Worship moved God to fight for them. Isn't that right? Worship caused God to move on their behalf. In Joshua chapter 6, when the Israelites were finally going to take the promised land, and the first city they faced was a city named Jericho. It had a huge wall around it. God told them to march around the city for 6 days, once every day. And on the seventh day, they were to march around it 7 times. And then they were to give a mighty shout of praise unto God. And you know what? When they did, the walls fell down flat, and they took that city, because praise moves God to act for you. Praise is a mighty weapon that moves God to fight on your behalf. Did you know that? The scripture says in Psalm 149, may the sons of Zion pour out their joyful praises to their king, break forth with dancing, make music, and sing God's praises with the rhythm of the drums. For he enjoys his faithful lovers. He adorns the humble with beauty, and he loves to give them the victory. Say, God loves giving me victory. His godly lovers triumph in the glory of God, and their joyful praises will rise even while others are sleeping. It says God's high and holy praises fill their mouths, for their shouted praises are their weapons of war. Their shouted praises are their weapons of war. Do you know that God has given you a mighty weapon? Do you know that when you give God praise, it does more for you than it ever does for him? It is a weapon that God has given you to bring victory in your life. Amen. Thanks for your great excitement and enthusiasm today. I'll get excited for you. How about that? Why don't you say this? Praise is my weapon of war. Psalm 51 says, I will overcome with my joyous praise. Psalm 75 verse 10 says, my praises will break the powers of wickedness, while the righteous will be promoted and become powerful. Say, my praises break the power of wickedness. Say, I overcome because of my praise. My praise is a mighty weapon God has given me. It is a mighty weapon, family. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas had been put in prison for preaching the gospel. And what happened? The Bible says in verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. What were they doing? They were singing praise to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken immediately. All the doors were open, and everybody's chains were loosed. God just shook that prison as Paul and Silas at the midnight hour were giving God praise. Because I tell you what, worship gets God's attention. Worship moves God to work in your life. In Psalm 50, verse 23, it says, he who brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving honors and glorifies me, and to him I will demonstrate the salvation of God. Let me tell you, when you bring praise as an offering unto the Lord, God says, I will show you my salvation. Amen. When you bring a sacrifice of praise to God, that's when God moves to save you, to deliver you. Amen. Some people, you know, come in late in the service. They don't come in for the worship. They come in after the worship. They just want to hear the preaching. What do you think God feels about that? How do you think God feels when you say, well, I don't need to get there for church for the worship part. That's not important to me. Can I tell you something that's very important to the Lord? Because we don't come to church just to receive. We come to church to give. And worship is giving to God. It's bringing an offering of worship to God. Can you say amen, Debbie? Amen, amen. The psalmist said this in Psalm 95, verse 1. Come on, everyone. Let's sing for joy to the Lord. Let's shout our loudest praises to our God who saved us. Everyone must come and meet his face with a thankful heart. Don't hold back your praises. Make him great by your shouts of joy. Everyone. Psalm 35:18. I will praise you wherever I go. And when everyone gathers for worship, I will lift up your praise with a shout in front of the largest crowd I can find. Psalm 148 says, praise him, all you beasts and birds, you mice and men, you kings and queens and princes and princesses, you young men and maidens, you children and babes, old and young alike. Everyone, everywhere, let them join in with this orchestra of praise. I don't care who you are, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're rich, whether you're poor. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter. Everyone, princes and princesses and kings, are to give praise unto our God. Amen. Doesn't matter who you are. You think you're too important to bow down and give worship to God? You need to humble yourself. Praise is humbling yourself before God. Psalm 22, verse 22, I will praise your name before all my brothers, and as your people gather, I will praise you in their midst. Psalm 147, verse 1, how beautiful it is when we sing our praises to the beautiful God, for praise makes you lovely before him and brings him great delight. I tell you something right now, praise brings God great delight. God inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 98, verse 4, go ahead, everyone, and shout out your praises with joy. Break out of the box and let loose with the most joyous sound of praise. Amen. Psalm 100, verse 1, lift up a great shout of joy to the Lord. Go ahead and do it, everyone, everywhere, as you serve him, be glad and worship him. Sing your way into his presence with joy. Let me tell you, you sing your way into God's presence. And I love that it says, everyone, everywhere, God wants you to do this. Psalm 107, verse 1, let everyone give all their praise and thanks to the Lord. Here's why. He's better than anyone could ever imagine. Yes, he's always loving and kind. His faithful love never ends. So lift your hands and give thanks to God for his marvelous kindness and for his miracles of mercy for those he loves. Exalt him on high and lift our praises in public. Let all the people and the leaders of the nation know how great and how wonderful is Yahweh, our God. Let everybody know how great is our God. Out in public, man. Psalm 30, verse 12, how could I be silent when it's time to praise you? Now my heart sings out loud, bursting with joy. A bliss inside me keeps singing. I can never thank you enough, Lord. I can never thank you enough. I can never praise you enough. Psalm 47, verse 1, come on, everyone. Clap your hands. Shout to God with joyful praise. Amen. God arises with the ear-splitting shout of his people. Sing and celebrate. Sing some more. Celebrate some more. Sing your highest song of praise to our King. Someone said, how long should I sing? Sing some more, man. Praise some more, man. Keep on singing some more, man. Psalm 134, verse 1, all his loving priests come and sing your song of blessing to God. Come and stand before him in the house of God, lifting up your hands in holy worship. Come and bless the Lord. Someone says, well, is that talking to me? That's talking about come all you priests. The Bible says in Revelation 1, verse 6, he has made us kings and priests unto his God and Father. Do you know God's made you a king and a priest? Do you know 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, you are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation, you are his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Say this, I've been called to proclaim the praises of God. Say, praise moves God. Number two, prayer moves God. Prayer moves God. Jeremiah 33, verse 2, thus says the Lord, call to me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me and I will answer you. Prayer moves God, family. David said in Psalm 116, I am passionately in love with God because he listens to me. He hears my prayers and he answers them. And as long as I live, I'll keep on praying to him. James 5, verse 13, are there any believers in your fellowship suffering great hardship and distress? Encourage them to pray. Are there any sick among you? Ask for the elders of the church to come and pray over the sick and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith faith. The prayer of faith will save the sick, or heal the sick, and the Lord will heal, raise them up. And if they've committed sins, they'll be forgiven. Confess and acknowledge how you've offended one another and pray for one another to be instantly healed. For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Let me tell you, things happen when a godly believer prays. Power is released. It says Elijah was a man with human frailties, just like all of us. But he prayed and he received supernatural answers. He actually shut the heavens over the land so there would be no rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and the skies opened up over the land so the rain came again and produced the harvest. Let me tell you, Elijah was a human being just like you and me. But when he prayed, he moved God. When you pray with faith, it's powerful. Let me tell you, faith believes and expects the answer. Some people, I've heard people pray, Lord, if you're up there. Lord, if you're up there. That's not a prayer of faith. Lord, if you can hear me. Lord, if you can do anything. That's not a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith is, Lord, I know you hear me. I know you're for me. I know you answer me. I thank you, Lord, that you're turning this around in the name of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 21, verse 22, you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. John 16, 23, Jesus said, in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I mean, can it get any plainer? Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Mark 11, verse 24, Jesus said, whatever things that you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Whatever you ask for when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them. You see, praying with faith is when you believe that God heard your prayer and you believe that you receive what you prayed for. You may not have it in your hands right now, but you believe that you have received it by faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Listen, when I know that if I ask God anything according to his will, I can know he heard me. And if I know he heard me, then I know that I receive whatever I ask for. So the question is, how can I be sure that what I'm asking God for is according to his will? That's an easy one, because the Word of God, the Bible, is the will of God. So if you have a scripture in the Bible that promises you what you're asking God for, then you can have the confidence when you pray that it is his will. So here, let me give you a quick outline of how to pray the prayer of faith. Number one, find scripture before you pray that promise what you're asking for. Number two, ask the Father in the name of Jesus. Number three, believe you receive when you pray. Number four, thank and praise God from that point onward. And number five, begin to confess by faith. I thank you, Lord. It's done. I thank you, Lord. I believe I've received it. Begin to declare it. Can you say amen? Amen. You know, my pastor, Pastor Theo, tells this testimony. I just think it's such an amazing testimony. Pastor Theo Womerantz, who discipled me in the Lord. He tells when he used to work at this furniture store. He was selling furniture in Durban, South Africa. And he worked 6 days a week. And one day he was working, it was a Saturday, and his friend came in, and he pulled up outside the front of the furniture store, and he had his surfboard on his car. And he ran in, he had his swimsuit on, and he said, Theo, come to the beach, the surf is amazing. Everyone's out there, get your surfboard, get to the beach. And before Pastor Theo could even reply, he was out the door. And so Theo, well, he wasn't a pastor in those days, he was standing there, and all of a sudden he had this desire for a new job because he didn't want to work Saturdays anymore because he wanted to get a day off. So he went and he got a little white card and he wrote two scriptures on that, John 16, verse 23, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you, ask and you shall receive. And then he wrote Mark 11, verse 24, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive it. He wrote it down, and he kept reading over those scriptures and reading the scriptures, and he felt faith come in his heart. And then he said, Lord, I'm asking you for a new job. And he turned over the card and he wrote down, I'm asking you for a job, number one, that's 5 days a week. I'm asking for you for a job, Lord, that where I'm traveling. I don't want to be in a store. I want to be a traveling salesperson, you know, my own boss. Number three, I want to get a company car, a brand new 1600 Datsun, Nissan, brand new 1600 Sport. He said, he prayed, Lord, I want to make a basic salary of at least, I think it was $800. I think it was like that, and another $600 in commission. He was praying for $1,400 in total. And then he said, I want to start my job on the 1st of January. So he prayed and he asked God, and then he went around to all the other salespeople that worked with him. There were 17 salesmen, and he said to them, did I tell you about my new job? No, tell me. Well, praise the Lord, I got a new job, man. I only work 5 days a week now. I don't work on Saturdays anymore, and I'm traveling, a salesperson. And they're giving me my own brand new 1600 Datsun car, company car. And they said, well, what are they offering you? Salary. Oh, that's the best part. My basic salary is $800. I'm going to make at least $600 more in commission. They were like, that's like five times what any of them are making. And then they're like, oh, when do you start? January 1st. They said, where's the job? Is there any more vacancies? Sorry, I can't tell you that. That's a secret. I can't tell you that right now. He had no idea what the job was. He went and told all 17 salesmen. He told them that same story. Do you know that when it came for January 1st, there was no sign of his job, but he just kept thanking God. There was no sign of his job. Most of us would have given up and said, oh, well, I guess that didn't work. I guess that wasn't God's will for me. He just kept thanking God. January 1st was a national holiday in those days in South Africa. Everything was closed. Everything was closed. So he had the day off. He was surfing, and he came home in his apartment. There was a note on the door, and it was from a friend of his named Mike. He said, call me immediately. So Pastor Theo called him up, and he said, listen, a friend of mine, he owns his own business, and he's looking for a new salesman, and his salesman just resigned, and I thought of you. Can you come interview right now today? Theo's like, well, I just came from the beach. I've got my swimsuit on. Doesn't matter. Come as you are. And he went down. He had the interview. The man was a Christian. He liked Pastor Theo. He had a company building, a walling company, put walls around people's homes. And he offered him the job. He said, what would it take you to come work for us? What would it take? And Theo said, well, first of all, I want to work 5 days a week. We close Saturdays. He said, I'd like a company car, a yellow 1600 Nissan. They said, you can go down to the dealership and pick what you want. He said, well, I want a basic salary of $800, and then I want to make at least $600 in commission. They said, man, that's more than we've ever paid anybody. He said, listen, I understand that, but you're a new company. You can't afford the luxury of an inexperienced salesman. You need the best, and you hire me. I've got the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, they're all on my side. I will sell more walls than anyone ever sold in the history of your company. And you know what? He got everything he asked. He started, they said, you start today. We start paying you from today. Give you a two-week notice. So he earned two salaries for the first 2 weeks of January. Everything he prayed for. Let me tell you, prayer moves God. Now, you've got to understand this. There's different ways of praying. There's different kinds of prayer. There's a prayer of petition, prayer of faith, what I just spoke about, where you're asking God for something for yourself. There's the prayer of intercession. Like in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about interceding for other people, interceding for those in authority. There's the prayer of consecration, like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That's where you consecrate yourself. Father, let your will be done in my life. There's the prayer of committal. Cast all your cares on the Lord. That's where you cast all your cares and worries on God. There's the prayer of binding and loosing. Matthew chapter 18, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. That's where you take authority over the enemy in prayer. There's the prayer of agreement. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 19, if any two of you on earth will agree about anything you ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Then there's fellowship prayer, where you're not asking God for anything. You're just fellowshipping and talking to the Lord. Then there's praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. Are you still with me? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. Do you notice it says pray with all kinds of prayer? There's different kinds of prayer. The reason why sometimes people don't see their prayers answered, they're praying the wrong kind of prayer in their situation. In other words, if I'm praying for someone to be healed, I never pray, Lord, if it be your will. I know what God's will is. It's his will for them to be healed. I pray, be healed in the name of Jesus. But if I'm praying, Lord, do you want me to marry this one or marry that? Or do you want me to go to Africa? Or do you want me to do that? Then I say, Lord, let your will be done. Do you understand? Now, most of my prayer time, Most of my prayer time, I pray praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. What happens when you pray in tongues, in the Spirit? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says this. It says, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray. I have that often where I don't even know how to pray. Or the best things to ask for. It says, but the Holy Spirit arises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. And God, the searcher of our heart, knows fully our longings, and He also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. When you pray in tongues, you can be guaranteed that the Holy Spirit is helping you to pray in perfect harmony with God's plan and destiny for your life. Then it says in verse 28, so we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together to fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good into our life. To fit into God's perfect plan of bringing good. What does God want to bring in your life? He wants to bring good. When you pray in the Spirit, what happens? When you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is able to orchestrate things and cause every detail of your life to be woven together to fit into God's plan of bringing good into your life. That's why I pray in the Spirit, because it's powerful. Things happen. Praying in the Spirit moves God. He causes every detail of your life to be woven together to fit into God's plan and destiny for your life. If you don't pray in the Spirit, if you don't pray in tongues, ask God and He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit today. In Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus said, if even sinful persons like yourselves give children what they need, don't you realize that your Heavenly Father will do at least as much and give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? If you haven't received the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues, you're watching me today, just ask God, Father, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can speak out and pray in that heavenly language. See, when they first received the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, the Bible says they spoke in tongues. In Acts 2, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Paul the Apostle, he knew the power of praying in tongues. He knew it because he said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, he said, I would like all of you to speak in tongues. In verse 18, he said, I thank God I speak in tongues much more than any of you. Paul said, I speak in tongues much more than any of you. Why? Because he knew how powerful it was. In Acts 19, verse 1, it says, when Apollos was ministering in Corinth, that Paul traveled on through the regions of Turkey until he arrived in Ephesus, where he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. He found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. And the first thing that he asked them was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? They said, no, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of Christians like that today. They've never been told anything about the Holy Spirit. And when Paul laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested and they immediately spoke in tongues. You see, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you begin to speak in this heavenly language. It's from your spirit. You speak in other tongues. By the help and direction of the Holy Spirit, He helps you to pray according to the perfect plan of God and destiny for your life. Are you with me? Let me tell you, prayer moves God, family, to act in your life. Prayer moves God. That's why 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says, never stop praying. The third thing that moves God to work in your life, move in your life, is your words. Do you know your words move God? Say, my words move God. Psalm 81, verse 10. Open your mouth with a mighty decree, and I will fulfill it now, you'll see. The words that you speak, so shall it be. That's a powerful scripture, isn't it? Do you know that God is moved by your words? Whether they are positive or whether they are negative. When God delivered the Israelites from Egypt, they came to the promised land, but they wouldn't believe God's word. They were complaining against the Lord. They said their children were going to become victims and they were going to die in the wilderness and we should go back to Egypt. And God said to them in Numbers chapter 14, He said, I have heard the complaints the Israelites are making against me. Now tell them this, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing that I heard you say. Do you want God to do to you the very thing that you've been saying? Jesus said, you will have whatever you say. They got exactly what they said. They did not enter that land. Their children had to wander for 40 years and die in that wilderness because of what they said. Amen. Jesus taught the same Jesus taught the same principle in Mark 11, 23. He said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he Jesus said, you're going to have whatever you say if you believe what you're saying in your heart. Let me tell you say it long enough, and you'll end up believing it. Let me tell you, say this, say, God cannot do more for me than what my words allow him to. Do you know that your words can limit God in your life? Psalm 78, verse 40, how many times it says they rebelled in the desert, how they grieved him with their grumblings again and again. They limited God, preventing him from blessing them. Do you know that you can limit God and prevent his blessings in your life with your own words? The woman in Mark chapter 5, the woman that had that bleeding disorder I spoke about earlier, what did she say? She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. What happened? She got exactly what she said. The Israelites said, we cannot take the land, and their children would die in the wilderness. They got exactly what they said. Here's the question. What are you saying over your life? Because you can't talk defeat and have victory. You can't talk sickness and be healthy. You can't talk lack and have abundance. You can't talk fear and have strong faith. You will have what you say with your mouth. Your words move God. So I would encourage you to speak out in faith. Say what God says about you. Declare his promises in your life. In Matthew 17, verse 20, Jesus said, if you have faith, you will say to this mountain. If you have faith, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and nothing will be impossible. Here's my point. Jesus said, if you have faith, you will say. Faith speaks. You've got to speak your faith. Your faith is activated by your words. David said in Psalm 141, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. And the Passion Bible says it like this. God, give me grace to guard my lips from speaking what is wrong. You see, David knew the power of his words. Amen. David said in Psalm 116, David said, even when it seems like I'm surrounded by so many liars and my own fears, and though I'm hurting and my suffering and my trauma, I will still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. David said, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to speak words of faith. Set a guard at the door of my lips. I will not say the wrong thing. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. I'm going to speak words of faith. I encourage you to make that same declaration. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. I'm going to keep speaking the words of faith. I'm going to keep saying what God's. I'm going to keep saying my God supplies all my needs. I'm going to keep saying by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. I'm going to keep saying if God is for me, then what can be against me? I'm going to keep speaking words of faith. David knew the power of words, didn't he? Do you know that David defeated Goliath because of the thing he said out of his own mouth? In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword or with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you in my hand. And I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines, of the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Amen. He said, this whole assembly will know the Lord doesn't save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. I mean, David, 17 years old, 5'5", or whatever he was, Goliath, 10 feet tall. I mean, just think about it. And David speaking words of faith to this giant. It happened exactly like David said. Here's my question. What are you saying about your life? Because if you don't want it to happen, stop saying it. Speak your faith. Say what God says about you. Stop saying, I'll never be able to do that. I'll never be able to afford that. Stop saying that. Declares my God meets my needs. All things are possible to him who believes. Take the limits off of God. Don't limit him with your words from moving in your life. Somebody said, amen. That's good preaching, Pastor Steve. Preach some more, Pastor Steve. Number four. Number four, giving moves God. Giving moves God. In 2 Chronicles 1 verse 6, it says, Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of meeting, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Now, it's easy to just read over that. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings. Do you have any idea what is involved in one burnt offering? Do you have any idea of what is involved in offering a burnt offering, let alone 1,000? It says on that night, that same night, God appeared to Solomon and he said, ask, what shall I give you? Whatever you ask me, I'm going to give you. You see, his giving got God's attention. An angel appeared to a man named Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And the angel said in verse 4, he said, all of your prayers and your generosity to the poor have ascended before God as eternal offering. The Living Bible says they have not gone unnoticed by God. Do you know that God notices? He knows your prayers and God knows your giving. God takes note of every penny you've ever given and every prayer you've ever offered to God. In Mark chapter 12, verse 41, it says that Jesus sat down near the offering box and he was watching all the people dropping in their coins, and many of the rich would put in very large sums. But then a destitute widow walked up and dropped in 2 small copper coins worth less than a penny. And Jesus called his disciples to gather around and he said to them, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given a larger offering than any of the wealthy. For the rich only gave out of their surplus, but she sacrificed out of her poverty and gave to God all she had to live on, which was everything she had. Now notice, giving got Jesus' attention. And it wasn't because of the amount that she gave. It was because of what she gave in relation to what she had. Are you with me? So you come in here and we've got a millionaire and he puts he gives $1,000 and he's got $1,000,000 in the bank. And we have someone over here who has only got $100 in the bank and they give 50. Who gave more? The 50. Because they gave half of what they had. The millionaire gave 1,000. There's not even a percent or 1% or something on what they had. You see, giving gets God's attention. Jesus didn't stop that widow. Now, here's what I want you to see. Yeah, I may be stepping on some toes, but Jesus will heal your toes up. Now, have you ever noticed that Jesus never stopped that widow from giving? He never said, no, we don't need you to do that. We've got all these wealthy people giving. No, don't you do it. He never stopped it. Why? Because Jesus said in Luke 6, verse 38, give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you. Shaken down to make room for more, abundant gifts will be poured out with such an overflowing measure that it'll run over the top. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return. See, Jesus knew that giving brings increase. Giving moves God to act. That's what happened to the widow in 1 Kings chapter 17. There was a famine in the land. You know why there was a famine? Because Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain. And now there's a famine in the land. God stopped the rain and God tells Elijah, you need to go to Zarephath because there's a woman, a widow there that I've instructed to feed you. She's going to feed you. And it says in 1 Kings 17, so he arose and he went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed there was a widow there. She was gathering sticks. And he called to her. And he said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to go get it, he called to her and he said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. And so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. I only have a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it. And then we're going to die because we've got nothing else. And Elijah said to her, oh, if that's the case, then don't worry about making me a cake. Don't bring me any water. I didn't realize it was that bad. Is that what he said? What did he say? He said, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and then afterward make some for yourself and your son. Can you believe this preacher? Can you believe it? This preacher. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away, and she did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which is spoke by Elijah. What happened? God supernaturally multiplied the flour and the oil. Her giving moved God. God supernaturally multiplied it. Just like Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes when he fed the 5,000. As they kept giving, it kept multiplying. Well, let me tell you, will God do that for you? Is God able to multiply and supply your needs? Yes. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, a stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, or because God loves hilarious generosity, and God is more than ready. God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do, just like the scriptures say about the one who trusts in him. Because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. Amen. It says, this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which becomes bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you, because first he supplies every need plus more, and then he multiplies. He multiplies. Multiplies the seed as you sow it. He multiplies the seed as you sow it, so that the harvest of your generosity will grow and you will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give. As you give, you will be enriched in every way on every occasion in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? Say, giving moves God. I'm almost done. Can you hang in there a little bit? Can you hang in there a little bit longer, Jerry? Okay. Number five. Got nothing to do? That's praise moves God. Prayer moves God. Words move God. Giving moves God. Number five, acts of obedience move God. Psalm 50, verse 23. Obey me, and I, your God, will show you my power to save. Obey me. I'll show you my power to save. Obey me, I'll show you my power to save. The miracle of multiplication in 1 Kings 17 happened because Elijah and the widow obeyed God's instruction. Jesus' first miracle was a miracle of multiplication when he turned the water into wine. And you know why it happened? Because his mother Mary told them in John 2, verse 5, whatever Jesus tells you, make sure you do it. Whatever God tells you, make sure you do it. Jesus told the servants to fill up the water pots and then fill their pitchers and take it to the master of ceremonies to sample it. And they obeyed. They did what he said. What happened? The water became wine. And the master of the ceremony said, "Ah, man, you saved the best wine for the last." Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all the commands which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Obedience moves God's hand. Obedience caused God to move in your life. If you read the Old Testament, man, you'll see when the children of Israel obeyed God, God gave them victory over their enemy. But when they stubbornly kept going away from God and disobeying God, then what happened? Their enemies would defeat them. Isn't that right? God rewards obedience. When you obey, miracles happen. When you obey, dreams come to pass. When you obey, blessings follow. When you obey, problems turn around. I wonder how many miracles we'd see if we'd simply do what God is telling us to do, that which God is speaking down in your heart. If you just do what he's telling you to do. Are you talking yourself out of something because it's not practical? It doesn't make any sense. I mean, I know I should volunteer in the church, Pastor Steve, but I'm just too busy. I know I should tithe, but I'm struggling. I know I should invite my neighbor, but I'm too shy. I know I shouldn't be hanging around these friends, but I don't want to be lonely. Lord, yeah, I know I shouldn't be living with my boyfriend, but he doesn't want to marry me, and I don't want to be on my own, and I can't afford to live on my own. Listen, stop putting off and just do it. Obey God. Do what God is telling you to do. Because if you'll have a bold obedience, you'll see God's favor and blessing in a new way in your life. Blessings will come chasing after you. David said in Psalm 18, I will follow his commands and never stop. I'll not sin by ceasing to follow him no matter what. For I've kept my eyes focused on his righteous words and I've obeyed everything he's told me to do. And so the Lord has rewarded me with his blessing. David said, I've obeyed everything God told me to do, and God has rewarded me with his blessing. And then lastly, fasting, number six, fasting moves God to work in your life. Jesus said there are some breakthroughs that only happen by fasting and prayer. One time Jesus found the disciples, they were surrounded by a crowd of people. The Jewish leaders were arguing with them. Jesus asked them, what's going on? One in the crowd spoke up and he said, I brought my son for you to heal him. He's possessed by an evil spirit. Whenever the spirit seizes him, he falls down. He foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth. He becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to cast it out. They couldn't do it. Jesus commanded the spirit to come out, and the young man was set free. And afterward, the disciples came to Jesus. They said, how come we couldn't cast it out? What did Jesus say? Mark 9:29. This type of powerful spirit can only be cast out by fasting and prayer. Let me tell you, there are some things that don't happen without fasting and prayer. There are many examples of God responding to fasting and prayer. Like in 2 Chronicles, when King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah were attacked by those three armies. Let me tell you, before they put the praises out in the front of the army, you know what they did first? First, they called the fast. First, they fasted and prayed. And God gave them a supernatural victory. Their enemies began to fight each other. There wasn't even one left standing. Amen. Fasting brings supernatural victories. It brings supernatural breakthroughs. In the book of Joel, they were in financial crisis because a horde of locusts had destroyed all their crops. What did the prophet Joel do? He called for a fast, and God brought supernatural restoration, financial restoration, as they fasted and prayed. Fasting brings financial breakthroughs. When Daniel fasted for 21 days, there were spiritual blockages that were blocking his prayers. They were removed. He had a breakthrough. See, fasting destroys demonic forces that are trying to block God's will for your life. Amen. Fasting is to unleash breakthrough power. It's to break through things that are hindering you from the plan and purpose of God. Fasting breaks chains of oppression. Isaiah 58 verse 6, is this not the fast that I've chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Let me tell you, fasting breaks yokes. The Passion Bible says to remove the sinful chains, to tear away the ropes of your burdensome yoke, to set free the oppressed and to break every burdensome yoke. Fasting will set you free from any wickedness, from addictions, things that have bound you. It'll break yokes. It'll set you free. You're going to come out of this year. You're going to come out of this fast, excuse me. You're going to come out of this fast, holy, free, set apart for the work of God, sin having no power over you. Isaiah 58 is the great fasting chapter of the Bible. It reveals many blessings for fasting: healing, guidance, protection, strength, success, quick answers to prayer, provision, restoration. Powerful things happen as you fast and pray. And I believe that powerful things are going to happen this year as we start out fasting and praying. I believe we're going to see God's power break forth in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our city, in our nation. Amen. We're going to start out this year with a 21 days of fasting and prayer. We're doing the Daniel fast. The Daniel fast is basically no meat, no sugar, no alcohol. It's really vegetables, fruits, grains. There are many health benefits physically to fasting, but the spiritual benefits are far greater. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 17, when you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others you're fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. Let me tell you, when you fast, God promises open rewards. Why does Jesus want us to fast? He knows the benefits of fasting. He knows the power of fasting. He knows fasting brings breakthroughs. Amen? Fasting brings us closer to God. Fasting makes us more aware of spiritual things. It makes us more sensitive to God's voice. Fasting helps you to know God's will. It helps you to put your flesh under. Fasting helps you to break bondages and addictions that are holding you back. It releases God's anointing, God's favor, God's blessing. Fasting is the secret to obtaining breakthroughs, open doors, miraculous provision. If you want to access the supernatural realm and walk in spiritual power and authority, you must fast and pray. Because there's some breakthroughs don't happen without fasting and prayer. But make sure that when you fast, that you pray too. Pray in the Spirit. Make sure you read your Bible. Get into the Word of God. Watch sermons. Go on YouTube and watch different sermons. You can watch Franklin's got some great sermons on fasting. We got some books out in the lobby there on fasting. But watch sermons. Get in the Word. Are you with me? I believe what you do at the beginning of the year sets the tone for the rest of the year. You'll see breakthroughs throughout the year. How many people are going to be start fasting tomorrow? How many people are going to join us in this fast? Wave your hand real, real. There you go. I hope you're going to be fasting with us. You want to see God move in your life this year? Join us as we fast January 11th, starting tomorrow through to the 31st. Amen. Because let me tell you, we're going to put all these things in practice. While you're fasting and praying, be praising. Be praying. Be speaking words of faith. Be acting in obedience. Be giving. Be putting all that together as you fast and pray. And I'm telling you right now, I'm expecting to see God do great things this year. I said, I'm expecting to see God do great things this year. I'm expecting God to do great things this year in the name of Jesus. I am expecting God to do great things. Keep your focus on Jesus, family. The Bible says, keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep looking at Him. Well, you don't understand things going on around you. Keep looking at Him. Keep following the Word of God. Keep living by faith. Keep praising. Keep praying. Keep speaking words of faith. Amen. You just keep doing it, and you see what God's going to do. Did you get something out of this today? Amen. Are you ready? I wanted to get you ready. Because I am ready. I am ready. It's taken me 11 days, but I've got myself ready now. I'm ready. Tomorrow we start. Tomorrow we fast. Tomorrow we fast and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we begin this fast tomorrow, I thank You, Lord. I consecrate this fast unto You, Lord. We are fasting because we want Your will. We're fasting because we want to see breakthroughs. We're fasting because, Lord, we want to see You move in our life. We want to see supernatural things and breakthroughs happen and remove things that are blocking us, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for each and every person that will be fasting. I thank You for giving them strength. I thank You, Lord, that You give them strength, Lord. Determination. I thank You, Lord, that they are going to come to know You in a greater way, that as we pray, Lord, things are going to happen. We're going to draw closer to You. We're going to hear Your voice, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray for every person. Thank You for helping them, strengthening them as they fast, Lord. Thank You for moving mightily in their life as they fast. Thank You for doing amazing and wonderful things this year, Lord. We thank You in advance, Father, in the name of Jesus, for what You're going to do. Lord, You said in this world we will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have already overcome the world. I thank You, Lord, that we can have joy no matter what we may be facing. You said when you face joy, count it an opportunity. When you face trouble, count it for a great opportunity to be joyful. Lord, we are joyful. We are hopeful. We are expectant. We are excited. Lord, we are excited to be a part of building Your church. That's what You're doing in the earth today. In Jesus' name. Lord, help us to let our light shine. Help us to make a difference in this world. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Just Keep your head bowed for a moment, would you? Just a moment more. Just close your eyes, because I want to pray right now for anyone here this morning. If you are not sure where you stand with God today, if you are not sure if all is right between you and the Lord today, listen, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure that heaven is where you will spend all of eternity? Or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. The Bible says even the demons believe in God and they tremble. What I am asking you is, are you sure? Can you say you know for certain that if you died today, you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today knowing that all is right and all is well between you and God, knowing that every mistake, every sin you ever committed is forgiven and washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. I want to pray for you. Well, heads about. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. But right where you're sitting, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. Pray for me. I want to make sure. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. If that's you, just lift your hand. Slip your hand up real high. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is up, then you're included in this prayer. Just put it up now. Yes, pray for me, Pastor Steve. Do you see anybody's hand? Anyone? Anyone? All righty. Praise the Lord. Look up at me for a moment if you would. Praise God, you look wonderful today. I like it. Like a big flower, I like it. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you were here today. Are you ready to fast and pray? Are you going to join us and fast and pray?
Amen. Good preaching. Good preaching. I'm glad we get those notes, right? Because it's hard to write it down. Those scriptures are so good. Family, it's a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give, right? You look happy about it. There's various ways to give. They'll come up on the screen. Those that are watching online, it's real simple. There's you click the give on our website, on our app, and it takes you right into giving. There's envelopes there. Thank you to those that give online every week. There are those that give reoccurring giving. We appreciate it. Two quick things. Knowing what Pastor Steve was going to preach this morning, I just want to tell you two quick things why giving moves God. First of all, it is a God-established principle. So you're activating a principle. What you sow, you reap, right? The Bible says in Genesis 8, verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So there's a principle that it works because it's a principle, right? If I'm a farmer and I sow nothing, then all I get is dirt, right? But if I sow an apple seed, it can pull apples right out of the dirt because it's a principle, right? And three facts about sowing seed, about giving. Why does giving cause something to happen? First of all, you reap what you sow. Second of all, you reap after you sow. How many times I've heard someone say, well, Lord, if I could just win the lottery, I'd give big to the church. No, you reap after you sow. Not, come on, give to me and then I'll give, right? And thirdly, you reap more than you sow. So there's a principle. So that's why giving moves God, because he's made it a principle of this world. Second of all, giving moves God because it's a demonstration of faith, like Pastor Steve said. The reason that the widow in 1 Kings saw what she saw is because she believed the word of God from the man of God. She listened to what the man said. Thus says the Lord, if you do this, God will do that. And she chose to believe. So it was a demonstration of faith. Giving is a demonstration of faith when you believe the word of God. So when we believe what God says about giving tithes and offerings, and then we act on it, remember the act of obedience? When we act on it, it moves God and we see the results. We see the windows of heaven open above us and blessings. Amen. Praise God. Well, go ahead and prepare yourself to give. Pastor, I'm ready for you. Abel, I heard such a funny thing. Your brother told me. Weston told me. He said that. Abel, tell me if I got this right. He was sitting on the front seat on Christmas, and Rain, his little niece, she's like 5, and she notices everything. Like, she always, whenever she sees me, she looks me up and down, shoes, earrings. And she leaned over to Abel before he came on the platform, and she's like, red is just not your color. She was wearing red, but she said, red's not your color. And Abel was, he's like, I'm not getting on the platform. That's it. I thought that was so funny.
Praise God. Now, next weekend, we have Prophet Ed Trout with us next weekend. You don't want to miss any of this, trust me.
So good.
On Saturday, next Saturday, or this Saturday, we're having a prophetic seminar with Prophet Ed Trout. It'll start at 9. It'll have 2 sessions, 9 till 10:30. Then we take a half-hour break, then 11 till 12:30. So it goes from 9 to 12:30. Ed's going to be teaching so many things, how to interpret your dreams. He's going to be teaching how to prophesy. He's going to be prophesying over people on Saturday. And then he'll be back with us on next Sunday, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. And again, we're doing Sunday night, 6 p.m. So we have 3 different services. We have Saturday at 9 a.m. Ushers, you can go ahead. And we have Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Now, I roll that video for me of Ed Trout. Would you do that?
I want you to get this in your spirit today. I don't just want to teach some good teaching. I want it to be a life-changing experience, but it'll help you in your journey with the Lord and help you help others. We live a whole lifestyle of non-offense and full of forgiveness. God's not against you, He's actually for you and working on your behalf. He's just teaching you to trust Him because He knows your heart.
Now, I've known Ed for probably 30 years, and I can tell you right now, he is a powerful prophet. I called Ed two months ago, and I said, Ed, can I not say that? What he told me. Huh? Well, all I want to say is I asked Ed with the election, I said, do you know who's going to win? You're a prophet. Do you know who's going to win? He's never said anything publicly. He says, Steve, I asked the Lord, and all He said to me is President Trump will serve one term. That's all He said. He told me that 2 months ago. I'm not saying that's God's will. I'm just telling you, that's what He told me. Ed is so accurate. He prophesies over India, and Ed's got no agenda. He's not on political one side or the other. He's following the Lord. Are you with me? See, my allegiance is to Jesus more than anybody else. More than anybody else. So all I'm telling you is that Ed has this gift. It amazes me. He prophesies over people with such detail and accuracy. It'll blow you away. And so I really encourage you to be here Saturday, because I know that, you know, we'll have less people on Saturday than Sunday, but you got a greater chance of getting a word from Ed on Saturday than you do Sunday, because he's here for 3 hours. Come Saturday. He usually charges. There's a fee for the prophetic seminar, but we're not having any fee. We're going to have it free. So I hope you'll be here next Saturday, 9 a.m. Next Sunday, 10 and 6, we have Prophet Ed Trout. Invite someone, bring someone. I think it's appropriate that we have Ed Trout at this time. Isn't it? I was thinking about it. If there was any time that I could have Prophet Ed Trout come, it's now. We're going into a new season. And so I think it's very appropriate to have Prophet Ed Trout. And I really want to encourage you to be here. I'm going to be here. And bring somebody. Bring somebody, Demony. Will you bring somebody? Well, I want you to fill that row up there, okay? Fill that row up. That's your job. And I want them all shouting like you do. I want them all shouting like you at the second row. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you came to church today? Let me tell you, keep your hope in God. He's with us. He's for us. Amen. Come on, stand up as we go. Stand and sing with us.
You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies.
Making ways to the sea.
You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who cares. You're the only one who cares. You're the only one who cares.
Hallelujah. Have an amazing week. We'll see you next Saturday.
We'll be right back.